Well, good evening, everybody. We are at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue, another edition of the Laker Hockey Show, the fastest show on radio, and we are going to get into the subject matter here in a few moments. Head coach Damon Whitten is alongside, so we'll talk about the series this past weekend and what's coming up this coming weekend. Chris Abel's not able to be with us tonight. He's got some hockey issues with his young people. He's got a couple kids that play hockey, so they're busy tonight, and Kathy did ask us, though, to talk about the Thanksgiving buffet that's coming up on Thanksgiving Day. They're going to be open. First time in years the Antlers has been open on that holiday. But from 2 till 6 p.m., you can get turkey and all the fixings for $12.95 right here at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. So if you don't want to cook and you want to make it easier on yourself, come on down to the Antlers. And, hey, $25 two of you can eat. And, hey, bring the whole family. Spend some money. They're going to have Thanksgiving dinner right here at the Antlers. We're going to get into players of the week here right off the bat because it's very interesting. Two players from Alabama Huntsville have been named players of the week in the WCHA. Cody Maroney, offensive player of the week. He's a junior winger. He had three goals against the Lakers in a 5-4 and 5-0 pair of wins. And Cody Maroney with those three goals, two of those goals were game winners. He had the overtime game winner on Friday night and the first goal of the game on Saturday. He added an assist in there, so he's player of the week offensively. The rookie of the week, the defenseman Kurt Goslin from the Chargers, was named rookie of the week. Three goals on the weekend, his first three collegiate goals. He also had an assist, and he's rookie of the week in the WCHA. Antti Tolvanen, the goaltender from Northern Michigan, is the defensive player of the week in Northern, getting a win and a tie with Bemidji State at Northern Michigan on the weekend. Well, as I just said, the Lakers suffered a tough weekend. I think all of us were surprised by what happened on Friday night. Teams ahead 4-2 in the third period, surrenders two long-range goals, gets tied, then loses in overtime. And then Saturday night, I don't know what happened there. That was just, I hope it was an anomaly because we don't want to see any more of that. 5-0, the Chargers outplay the Lakers and get a sweep on the weekend. And Damon, I know the unhappiest person probably leaving the building Saturday night would have been you or one of your assistant coaches.
Yeah, no, I mean, disappointing, frustrating. Probably get more colorful than that, but we can't say that on the air. So yeah, it's a difficult weekend. There's no question about it. And you know, going to Friday's game, you know, really strong game through most of it. You know, we have a 4-2 lead, and you know, obviously we're learning to win hockey games and how to close games out, and for our young guys to realize you have to keep your foot on the pedal at this level. It's, you know, some of these guys come from some junior leagues where if they're up 4-2, that means it's going to be a 6-7 point night for them. They throw 3-4 more on, and it's on cruise control, but that's not the case in anybody in college hockey. It's too tight. It's too close. And so I thought that was disappointing. And it starts right here. It starts at the top. You know, I need to do a better job to make sure we close games out. We're ready to play. You know, we have a line change issue that falls on me that made it 4-3, gave them some life and some momentum. And, you know, so as you mentioned, you're already pretty shooken up as you're leaving. But then when you make a coaching blunder, that makes it that much tougher. So it starts right at the top. And we need to be better from the bench, through our goaltending, to our decor. You know, you mentioned the players of the week, and when you're giving up 10 goals on the weekend, it's pretty easy to see where players of the week are going to come from. So that has to change quickly if we're going to have success. We've got to be much better defensively. You know, again, right through me to the goaltending, to the D, to the forwards. Our structure, which I thought was pretty darn good most of Friday, was almost non-existent Saturday. And, you know, disappointed. We had these great crowds and a great weekend, a lot of good things going on and distractions. You know, they are what they are. You know, these guys want to be pro hockey players and move on. They're going to have wives and kids and lots of distractions when you're a pro. So you better learn to handle it. And I don't think we did a good job of that. And again, that goes right to the top. So we'll keep moving forward and keep coming.
Yeah, I think probably the game Friday night, it's disappointing because you blow a lead there and you don't expect that to happen. And we talked about that before the game on Saturday night. But then to come out and you know, you just said there was no structure. I think that's a really good way to put it. I couldn't tell what was going on half the time. They just took it to us. I thought they out-muscled us, out-hustled us, made some great plays. They scored some really nice goals. And we just kind of stood around and watched them.
Well, and I don't agree with you there necessarily, Bill. And I think part of that was there for sure. But when you go back and watch the game, if you watch Saturday's first period. And if anybody in here remembers, we don't have to shout it out, but they scored their first goal with, I think it was a minute 14, yeah, a minute 40 left. Up until that point, they had three shots on goal. They had three shots on goal through the first 18 and a half minutes of the first period. So I don't think that's out hustled, out muscled. I know at times we certainly didn't win the battles we need to win, but through that, we had given up nothing. Now, we didn't generate a ton of grade A's either. We had a couple chances in the first period. I don't know what our shots were, but I know they had three at that point. And then, we have a terrible breakdown of communication. Our forward tracking back went to his man. He moved the puck, and he vacated that spot. We had a defenseman communicating, saying, hey, that's you, that's you. And our forward, didn't want to heed his advice, I guess, and part of the start of our breakdowns. And so that guy ended up going in all alone, and they made a good play, just threw the puck to the net. They got a redirect, and I didn't think Mikhailov had much of a chance on that play. But to say we got out-hustled, out-muscled to that point, I don't think that was the case because, you give up three shots, you're playing pretty well structurally at that point. And then, but offensively, the first night you saw cycle east-west, low to high, really generate a lot, have zone time, have possession time. I thought we were really on it Friday night for most of the game that way. And Saturday, we weren't as sharp down there, but we hadn't given much up. And then you give up a goal. We one of our areas that's critical to winning is not giving up a goal in the first or last minute. Now, it was a minute 14. It wasn't in the last minute, but you're so close. There's a huge momentum swing in that area, and that's why you want to avoid goals that early and that late. So the momentum going into between periods or the start of a period, don't hurt you so much. And so it basically was a goal in the last minute, and we went from just absolutely nothing going on Not that we were in total control either, but we hadn't given anything up to life, momentum, energy to that side, and it was very costly.
Yeah,
a bad breakdown.
That's a good point because really there wasn't a whole lot going on in that first period. There were a lot of penalties and a lot of power play opportunities, both teams. It seemed like the officials got a lot more involved in what was happening on Saturday. I think Friday night they only called three penalties in the entire game.
Yeah, there wasn't much. I think we had two power plays. We cashed in on one on a nice goal by Hanky there in the one-timer. And, I think that's – and you saw some of our frustration. We had one of our seniors take a penalty for, chirping the ref. And that's for sure not acceptable, especially from a senior and assistant captain. And that discipline is not tolerated. But the players get frustrated when they don't know what to expect. And I think on Hanky's penalty, he got cross-checked, went down. 10 seconds later, he does the same thing back to the guy, and they call one, and that's the other. Patterson got tripped. So when you don't know what to expect, it's difficult for the players. But again, that goes to coaching. We have to have control of our bench and control of ourselves. And I thought I got a little bit too wrapped up in the reffing as well. That's hockey. I don't think anybody you talk to ever liked reffing and what happened. So it's out of our control. We got to play and move through that.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of talking going on in that second game, and we had guys several times. Centermen got kicked out of faceoffs, and you could see they were talking to the linesmen. They didn't like the fact he wasn't dropping the puck or how he was doing it, and we picked up some penalties probably in the third period of that game we shouldn't have taken.
Yeah, I think the frustration came, we're the home team. We're supposed to have last line change. So you wait for the ref's arm to go up, you put your line on, and then we would go down and they toss our center anyway. And we're trying to say, wait a second, we're the home team. We get to come on late. And, that was frustrating. On the goal, the overtime winner, there was a blown icing call, we felt like, and it didn't matter. We still had possession on it and had a turnover. But didn't like them. Obviously they had a suspension from Friday night that wasn't even called on the ice. We had one of our players out with an injury because of a pretty brutal headshot, really, and no call on the ice. Four guys miss it. So inconsistent, but again, that's what it is. You play through it. And, I think when we looked at the goals, obviously giving up way too much, 10 goals, five goals we had as a direct result of a pretty brutal turnover. We had full puck possession on the overtime one. There's three other goals on the weekend where we had full possession. Four of them came from our decor. And, if you're going to serve pucks up and away and give up goals, you've got no chance to be successful. So our puck management, one of them was a tough break. It hit the partition in the first period Friday night. But still, you got to be heavy and manage pucks. But our puck management was really, really poor. And if you're going to basically gift five goals away, it's going to be a long weekend every weekend.
Yeah, we got a number of questions. We've got a lot of fans here tonight who are listening in person, and we've got a lot of questions here for you too. And one of those concerns that subject, which is why I want to get into it right now, why so many blind passes when we're clearing the puck out of our zone? Like, they saw that happen a lot where we just threw the puck trying to get it out and turned it over.
Yeah, and I, you know, not necessarily in our zone. You know, their first goal, you know, obviously home team, once again, we get a matchup. They've got this top line that, some of those guys are top in the country. So we've got five guys out against their top line that we know about. They're aware of the matchup, and we're at the offensive blue line, and, we turn a puck over for a breakaway a minute 30 into the game. You talk about momentum in life. You know, we recovered from it pretty nicely, but, you know, you have to have awareness of the situation, who you're playing against, respect for your opponent, all those things. So they weren't just in our D zone. They were all over, and, they were from some guys that, you know, quite frankly, our expectations are higher than that. We have guys that, you know, they're not the young guys necessarily or inexperienced guys. There are some of our guys that have played a lot of college hockey that we expect to make good decisions and, manage pucks and, put pucks to good areas. And, they didn't do a good enough job of that at times on Friday night, for sure.
Did you and the coaches make some changes style-wise between the two games, or did you just kind of do some things differently because you changed up a few players? I think you changed two forwards and a defenseman, and then, of course, Nick went in to play goal in place of Gordy Dayfield.
Yeah, no, structure, there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, you make adjustments from night to night based on a couple areas and, you know, try to put your kids in chance to be successful. But structurally, no, we stayed with the same thing. But like you said, you certainly couldn't tell it. And I think when you watch the video back and, you know, Doug and Rich kind of talked about Friday night, we talked about going north, whether it was on our breakout, our neutral zone offense, but we were either D rocket up or D to D in the neutral zone, rocketed up for a redirect to set up our forecheck 200 feet from our net. We forechecked well. We cycled east to west extremely well, you know, had all that zone time, all that offensive possession time. And all of a sudden, you know, Saturday we get out there and we don't want to play it. We want to overcomplicate it. We want to be cute, or we want to be a little bit selfish, whatever it is. And so it was, we didn't look the same, but there was no major changes to the way we were trying to play.
Did you shorten the bench during the games at all? Did you start to go back to the same lines a little bit more often than others? It seemed to me like Holt's line was out there an awful lot, and the line that Diego Cuglietta sent us. But
well,
it
yeah.
may just be, I just.
You're talking Saturday in particular?
Yeah, Saturday in particular, but overtime on Friday, too. Of course, overtime didn't last very long.
Yeah, overtime was too short to shorten, really. But Saturday, for sure. I mean, you're trying to get some guys who offensively have impacted the games early on because you're playing from behind. You know, certainly game to game, there's guys that are playing up or playing down, and you're trying to read that. And so you're making adjustments there. We also had a couple injuries, so we were short on the bench that way as well, which created some of the issues that way. But yeah, no, I mean, I think game to game, it's tough to shorten our bench too much the way we play, because we are trying to play so up tempo and aggressive all over. So you really do need four lines to be able to play.
Yeah.
But when you get behind, and, you know, so it's partly based off some guys we didn't think were playing to their capabilities, partly based off, hey, we're trying to generate some offense and putting our guys who could impact the game offensively out there.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good idea to change up some people on Saturday night, if for no other reason, because Alabama-Huntsville couldn't do that. They could only bring 22 people, and they only made one change in their lineup, and they traveled on a bus all the way up here. We could have fresh people in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I like that thought. I like fresh legs in, and then, you know, the home ice advantage to be able to make the changes, and I like our depth. I think we have guys who deserve to play and can play, and have shown that a little bit. It obviously didn't play out that way Saturday night, but you know, we wouldn't change that as long as guys are earning it in practice, and we'll continue to try to make the right decisions to get legs in there, and fresh legs or the right personnel, and we'll be a little bit dinged up here and limited that way, and that'll change some things this upcoming weekend as well.
Okay, we're going to take our first break of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. We're live at the Antlers as usual. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, second segment of our show tonight. We should let everybody know who's here that JT Henke, the sophomore forward, who's actually in his first year with the Lakers, is going to be joining us on the program tonight. And JT, Damon had a good weekend. He didn't get a whole lot done on Saturday, but he wasn't alone there. And he scored three goals, and I think three of the more exciting goals we've seen all season on Friday night.
Well, yeah, and overshadowed a little bit in the end result of Friday night, but JT had a really strong game, and, you know, he's playing well. He's playing really well. He's leading our team in scoring now, and he's a guy that I go way back. He's a Michigan guy, but he's kind of been out of Michigan for a while with his, you know, year at Maine and playing junior hockey out east. But he's a guy that I tried to recruit 6-7 years ago, and you know, he ended up going out east. But skilled guy. We've talked about his passing ability, which is some of the best passing ability I've ever had a chance to coach. It's very high end. Same time, he can shoot the puck and score. So he's an exciting player to watch and had a phenomenal Friday night. I thought he was good again Saturday. And power play wise, I thought we were really, really good again Saturday, generating chances. And I thought LaRose made some big time saves on us. And Josh is another guy that could add one or two more on Saturday. And he also hit, I think, two posts on Friday night. You know, that's the other thing we didn't really mention. We had seven posts on Friday. I'm not sure I've ever been in a game where you hit seven posts and not one of them find a way to go in or a rebound banged in. But, you know, it's that game of inches and the bounces. And I'm a big believer in you creating your own puck luck and bounces. So for whatever reason, we didn't get it. But that game could look a lot different the other way if one or two of those go in.
Yeah, that's, and Hinkie's one of those, too. He went down. He had a break, really, with about a minute and a half, yep. 2 minutes left on Friday night in regulation. And he tried to go high on Guerrero, and it hit the crossbar and glanced up and went over the glass out of play. But I thought he had a heck of a weekend for overall. And power play, let's talk about that for a second. We had five shots on goal on two different power plays Saturday night when we needed a goal badly to get back into it. We were down like 3-0, and we got power play chances and did a good job moving the puck, but we don't create any traffic in front of LaRose. He could see all the shots. And is that something we're working on too? We want to maybe try, you know, McKay or somebody in front of the net.
No, it's a good question. We've tried some different personnel. And if you go back to the Friday night goal, you know, part of it is what you're running on that look. I mean, we always have a net front presence. They do have some responsibility to be an outlet play occasionally, especially because Huntsville is so aggressive down low that you need that outlet play. But on Friday night's goal, it worked back around the horn over to JT Henke, and Diego Cugliotta was net front, did a phenomenal job taking away Guerrero's eyes. Carmine could never find the puck, and one-timer Henke short side was a great play, a great goal, and a good job by Diego to take his eyes away. And you're right. I do agree that I thought on Saturday, you know, as good as Diego was on the one group taking his eyes away, I thought he was a little bit too worried about being that outlet and that low option at times there. And then on the other group, we got to do a better job. It's not only about being there, but you know, a guy I really like there, and we did it in the blue white game last year, blue gold game, was Aiden Wright. Because he's a defenseman, they have a better feel for the shooting lanes and how to block some of those shots down low. So, you see it with some NHL teams and different college teams, but some teams will put a defenseman net front because they have that better feel to be in the shot lane and to take the goalie's eyes away. But, we've worked with it. We've hit it after practice quite a bit as well, grabbing some different guys to see who understands, you know, how to shuffle on the top of the paint and to take his eyes away. And it's an area we need to improve on. But I thought we generated – you mentioned the five shots on each. I thought we had about six quality grade A chances on the power play. Guerrero, one or two diving, made a blocker save. He got a toe on one of Hanky's shots. So I thought we generated good chances, but a little bit better job taking eyes away, and then a lot better job finding those second puck opportunities.
Yeah, and I thought that LaRose was really good too. He's a big man, 6'5", 210, fills the net up pretty good. And we shot through traffic several times on him on the power play on Saturday night, and he was just in the right spot. He was right in the middle of the net, and it hit him.
Yeah, and the size helps, but I thought he tracked pucks well, and that's, you know, looking at the goals against, you know, we need to track pucks better. They just, three of their goals were just kind of, you know, light wrist shots from the point. And you know, if we're going to have a forward or D commit to blocking it, then they need to block that shot and make that play. And our goaltenders need to fight for their space and track it and make the play as well. So, the goals we give up are too easy. You know, we talked about some of that Saturday night. Well, we gave up 19 shots and not a lot of grade A's. I think it was 8 or 9 grade A's. And you shouldn't be giving up 5 goals on that few shots and grade A opportunities. Not so much the shots as the grade A's you give up. And, you know, we talk about 6 or 7 to score a goal. So when you're scoring 5 goals on 9 grade A's, something's wrong.
Well, we did outshoot them too, 31-19, as you just said, on Saturday night, get beat 5-0. That's really hard to understand how that can happen. But we didn't challenge their D-men. That's a question we've got here too. Why are we so relentless all over the ice, except when it comes to the opposing team's defensemen, who just pretty much dominated our forwards, according to this question?
Well, they're saying, yeah, in our D zone coverage, and it's We're not supposed to be. I mean, I'll tell you that, and we hit it again today. You know, some of the terminology we use is when they go D2D is to flex out. And I don't know if our guys think flex is not aggressive. We've never said it's a slow flex, a flex or a front or anything like that. So I think a few of you in the audience were at practice today, and you will notice that that was a huge emphasis on practice, anticipating the D2D, reading the D2D, and then challenging and closing. Like you're saying, don't give them the time we did. I'm not sure, you know, why we're the way we are. It's certainly not by design. We are supposed to be more aggressive. So we did a drill in practice to anticipate and read that and be in the shot lane. And then post practice, we grabbed half of our forwards and did more shot blocking and closing in an aggressive fashion. So it'll be addressed, no question about it.
Yeah, another question here from the fans who are with us at the Antlers. A few defensemen, at least a couple, were definitely minus players Friday night, and yet they were back in the lineup on Saturday. Only one change on defense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you analyze things, and I guess, you know, part of what you say, what we talk a lot about as a staff, or I've always thought, is money in the bank. You know, I know exactly who people are asking about, and you know, you talk about money in the bank. You know, one of the players that's probably meant in this question is probably an upperclassman. He's probably played a lot of college hockey, and there's some trust there. He's got money in the bank over the last 3 or 4 years. He showed he can play and do things, and you know, you want to give him some opportunity to prove it and earn it. And then, you know, if that doesn't happen, then you look at making changes and doing some things there. So, you know, some of our guys have money in the bank. They've been around a long time. They've played a lot of college hockey. They've been impact players. And, you know, at some point, the money, the withdrawals might catch up, and it might make a change. But, you know, that's something we talk about game to game and look at. And, again, you know, we had some changes today on practice, and then we'll continue to work to find the right pairing.
All right, another question from the fans here tonight. Where was Jake Hand all weekend?
Jake Hand was able to play, but he was a healthy scratch on Friday and obviously Saturday as well. So, you know, he's a good hockey player. We like Jake Hand. You know, I think there's a good quote somewhere. I can't remember who it is, but talk about, you know, don't wait to be a healthy scratch until you get a fire in your belly and angry and upset about it. So, you know, that's a little bit of Jake's situation. We want a little bit more from him than what he's playing. And, I think the message was well received, because I thought he was flying in practice today and looked extremely well. But I think you'll see him a lot. I think he'll be an every night guy for us for the most part. But, you know, like him, like a lot of guys, we want a little bit more. And there's also some other guys that have earned it in practice because of the way they're practicing or playing in games. So, you know, it's still a little early. We're still trying to figure out some line pairings, some personnel. And we've got some deserving guys who we think have earned their opportunities to play and get some chances. And, you know, again, I wish we had 8 to 10 preseason games where you can get all the kinks worked out and see who has chemistry and who can fit where. We don't have that luxury, and you know, we're trying to get some guys through to give them a chance to be successful.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things, too, we pointed this out pregame on Saturday night on our broadcast. There were 15 underclassmen in the lineup again. 9 of them were freshmen. We used 10 freshmen the week before the second game at Michigan State. I think we have to be a little bit more patient here than we seem to be sometimes. I mean, how do you explain splitting at Michigan State, playing really well in that Thursday night game to get a 4-2 win there, and then losing 2-0? Could have been a lot closer game there. It was closer than 2-0 even when Indicate. And then, you know, the split with Northern Michigan is leaves me baffled, because we played so well that Saturday night, shut out a good team. They're not a bad team at all. We beat them 4-0. And then we come in against Huntsville, and we're dominating the game until the third period. And then a couple of bad goals, whether they're bad goals on the goaltending, right, or bad goals because people who should know better didn't block the shots. Those are pretty easy shots from the blue line. And at least the second one was. And it's hard to explain all that. You're like, what are we doing here? But I think this is a better situation by far than it was a year ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough sitting here Monday after that weekend, and you know, nobody's happy, and you know, that room is not happy, and there's frustration, all those things. You know, and there is a process in there to learning how to win, playing young guys, you know, all those things. I think that's part of the question about why aren't we more aggressive in the D zone. I think our, you know, a lot of our, as you mentioned, most of our, a lot of our forwards are young guys, so they end up being, you know, net front and some coverage, and they're a little bit still learning and trying to react and play quick versus they overthinking things. So, you know, there's a process that's going on, and you know, like everybody, we want to win. You know, phenomenal crowds this weekend. There's all this energy, all this buzz, and you so bad want to capitalize on it. And, you know, even I think Saturday, if you don't see a 5-0 score, you probably don't say, oh, boy, we were really bad or this or that. You give up 19 shots. You know, it wasn't this awful, awful effort. I think it was probably our worst game structurally of the year, but it also wasn't, you know, probably indicative of what it is. Now, you know, we've got to find a way to just not give up these easy goals. And we work too hard, and it seems like we got to work and work to generate our offense. But you know, you keep coming and you keep moving forward, and we got to learn from it. We had a good session today. We watched every goal back and talked about all the little areas, you know, stopping and starting, stick on puck, you know, turnovers, everything that we felt we lacked to do throughout the weekend that led to the losses, we tried to address. You know, it doesn't do any good to sweep them aside or hide them. We want to address those things and fix them. So we did that, and then we talked about it's over. You know, we've got to move forward. We got a new weekend. We got a tough trip down to Bowling Green against a good team, and we got to get right back at it and get a WCHA win.
Yeah, that's the next thing we'll talk about on the show tonight, too. JT will move in here and join us in our next segment. But we're going to Bowling Green, and that's a good trip. It's not really a long trip, but Bowling Green's a good team. I think we expect them to be real tough on the home ice. Again, they're like what we just saw this past weekend. The opposition is fast. I think Bowling Green's probably bigger physically than Alabama Huntsville. And they've got pretty good goaltending. This Chris Nell, sophomore kid who started to play for them now, shut out Anchorage on Sunday afternoon 2-0. And I think we'll probably see him Friday night. So it doesn't get any easier. The goaltending's good in this league, and you've got to figure out ways to beat these netminders. And we'll have our hands full, but we'll have to get her done on Friday night.
Well, there is no easy. I mean, it's a great thing about college hockey in our league. Every night you're tested. And We talked to the team, obviously, in between periods, in between the second and third. That's part of what we talked about. You know, it's going to be, you know, one of the positives of that situation was to learn more about our team. You know, how are we going to face this adversity? Are we going to pack it in and be done for the night? Or are we going to go out and push and battle and try to get the one and get ourselves into it? And I thought we did that. They had the late goal that went off Aiden Wright's foot. You know, it was a wide shot and a little bit of our puck luck right now. But I thought that third period, you know, we outshot them again. I thought we controlled play beyond some of the special team stuff. So, you know, we did push back. We're in there. We've been in every game except for that one where the score got away a little bit. But, you know, we'll be fine. But it's a big test. It's a good team. They're 14th in the country. And we went down there last year, had a good win Friday night as well. And that's got to be our mindset, find a way to get it done.
Okay, we'll be back. We'll talk more Laker hockey right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our third segment of the show tonight from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford joined now by JT Henke. He is a sophomore officially, but it's his first year at Lake Superior State. So he's one of the new guys. We got quite a few of them this season, and a really good game on Friday night for you personally. Three of the best goals we've scored all season. You get three, and then we kind of let it get away, and it's a tough loss.
Yeah, you know, it's never, no matter how well you do, on a personal level, it's never fun losing. It's always a bad taste in your mouth. You know, but with that being said, it's good to get first career hat trick out of the way. It's hard at any level. And let's go get it done here is something special for the hometown.
Yeah, it's Division One. It's big time college hockey. And if you can score three goals like you did, that third one, the power play goal, was a dandy right in the upper left hand corner as you look at it. I don't know that Carmine Guerrero really saw it very well, but it was a heck of a shot.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the plays you draw up is, you know, one of those rollout plays. And Nell was put in a good spot, and Diego had a good screen. And I saw a little net to shoot at, and, you know, puck luck, whatever you want to call it, went there. And good to get out of the way.
Yeah, that was our last goal we scored all weekend, too, and that came 37 seconds into the second period. So that was not a good situation after that. But and you had a chance, I can't remember, 2 minutes maybe left in regulation or a minute and a half, and you had the break and got down there. And I think you did the right thing. You tried to go high on him again to his glove side that, or to his stick side that time, and went off the crossbar and went up out of play.
Yeah, had nightmares about that, not going to lie. You know, that's every hockey player, no matter what level you are, you want the puck on your stick to win a game, and I think it was like 20-something seconds left, and yeah, I thought I had a good move on him, hit the crossbar, and saw it go out, and took a little bit of frustration out in the glass of my stick, but, you know, that kind of stuff happens, and, you know, it same time, it feels bad you couldn't win a game, but you know there's other chances you have throughout the game also. So, yeah.
What are you guys talking about today after Saturday? Saturday I can't even explain. I don't understand how we can beat Northern 4-0 and we can beat Michigan State 4-2 and then we lose 2 to Alabama Huntsville. Is this because we've got a lot of young guys who are trying to figure out what's going on, or what? How do you explain a 5-0 loss to Alabama Huntsville on Saturday?
You know, it's not uncalled for, really. Everyone wants kind of want to play the young guy excuse, but I mean, we all have 8-9 games in already. We should figure it out. Our defense wasn't very good, and just our lack of effort, and went over probably 25-30 minutes with the clips today of just, you know, not being hard on pucks or being in the wrong zone. We went through all of our goals against, and a lot of it was just the same kind of missing assignments, not blocking shots when they should have been blocked. Yeah. And you know, it's not the goalie's fault by any means when you can't see the puck and there's four guys in front of them. So it's got to be, you know, our job as forwards and defense to, you know, get in front of the shots and block them and make his life easier.
No, obviously hockey's a small fraternity. Are there a lot of the guys on this Huntsville team that you guys know that you've played against in the past or that some guys talk about, et cetera? They have an awful lot of North American Hockey League players in their lineup, and three or four from Fairbanks, a team the Lakers have recruited from in the past. So there should be some guys who kind of know each other, but how is your situation with that? Are you familiar with any of these people?
Yeah, actually, Kurt Goslin, the one that he had a really good weekend. He's a freshman this year. I played with him since I was probably from 8 years old to 14. I played on the same team as him. And, you know, it's kind of – last year when I was in New Jersey, I heard he committed to Huntsville. And you know, I was proud of him. And actually, in the first period after I scored my goal at the faceoff, and he said, like, oh, remember you from back then, good goal. And I kind of had no idea, brushed it off. I was just trying to get under my skin. But actually, after the game, I found out who it was. And you know, we caught up after the game and before the game, and it was just, it's cool to see guys you grew up with, you know, playing hockey and, you know, good family friends with being successful. I think he got Rookie Player of the Week, so congrats to him. But
yeah, I think he's from Brighton, Michigan, and you're out of Trenton, so you would have been in the same basic neighborhood there for hockey when you're kids.
Yeah, we're about 35 minutes apart. He was actually right from my grandparents, so I used to see him in the summer. But yeah, again, it's just good to see people from back home, you know, being successful in hockey.
Yeah, he had a great weekend. His first three collegiate goals, 4 points, game on the line there. He had an assist on the game winner. I thought he played pretty well. He stood up to some pretty big Laker forwards a few times, too. He's not afraid.
No, I mean, it's actually, one reason I didn't notice him was when we played with him. He was probably 5'1", and we were 15, and you know, he grew about 6 foot now, so he grew, and you know, he's a good player, but we just didn't do our job in beating him.
Okay, we go down to Bowling Green this weekend. What do you know about the Falcons, other than the fact here's another Division I opponent, another WCHA opponent, and we need to get a win here.
Yeah, I know, I mean, they're a good team. I think they're ranked nationally. I'm not too positive.
They are.
You know, they have a lot of offense, and their goal is good. You know, I feel like with our defensive zone structure, if we just play how we're supposed to play, and you know, we had 20-something shots on that both games. This weekend, we just got to find a way to get through, and we should be okay.
Yeah, we did throw some shots at the net. We do have some young guys with really good ability. I know yourself, you fit into that category. Diego's a very good first-year player. Gage Terrell, Mitch Holtz. I mean, we could probably name 10 guys here who can all play pretty well for first-year players.
Yeah, you know, Gage and Mitch are ones that stand out to me. You know, Mitch is big body. He knows how to use it well. He shoots the puck hard. Engage. I don't think I've played with many players who are as fast on their feet as he is. He can go laterally faster than I've ever seen anyone do, and he uses it to his advantage really well.
Yeah, that's been good with the power play so far this season. We've picked it up on a couple of areas. We'll hope it continues this week. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You're from Trenton, Michigan. You went to the University of Maine and played a season, and you weren't happy there, so you left. You went back, played junior hockey, I think, in New Jersey. Yep. And that's where Rich Mitro saw you play, and he had a connection with your coach there. And next thing we know, you're coming to Lake Superior State.
Yeah, you know, went to Maine. Kind of the same scenario that happened here 2 years ago. About a month before I went there, the coach they had, they fired him. Mm-hmm. So they brought in Red
Johnson.
Yeah, he was from, I think he played, or he was coach at UMass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I liked them, and just different styles didn't work out. So I went back to New Jersey where I played. Year before I went to Maine, Had a good first half of the year, battling injuries, but find a way to get through it. And yeah, Toby, my coach in New Jersey, was I don't know if he played with Coach Mitro or his brother, brothers played or something. They had some kind of connection where he just got the hookup, and I came up here for a visit and fell in love with it, and the rest is written.
Yeah, we had you on between periods on Friday night, our first Get to Know the Lakers interview of the season. We usually start with freshmen there, and you talked about your majoring in criminal justice. You've got some interest federally and maybe law enforcement someday. And your dad's a police officer, and sure. He's a veteran down in the Detroit area.
Yeah, he's a police officer for 24, 25 years. Retired, took a year off. Now he's just working part-time. But, it's something I love. I used to do ride-alongs with them, and I really not much locally. I kind of want to go federal, work for the government. But I think anytime you can help out people in the community or just try to make your country or city, wherever you live, a better place, I think it's good.
Well, you've got a hockey future too. I think you'll certainly play at a little higher level than Division I someday too before you're done. But how's it been for you so far at Lake Superior? I mean, you've been here a couple months now and acclimating to it. How's the team and how's the school? How's the town? Everything fitting in for you?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's probably one of the closest teams I've had the opportunity to play with. There's not really one guy that's, not everyone likes. Everyone gets along. The town's great. I'm more of an outdoorsy kind of person. So, being around here and having the ability to go, fishing, hunting, etc. is great. The fans are really loyal to the team, as everyone could see here. There's people out here just for the talk show, so it's pretty entertaining, and I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, we had great crowds on the weekend. Of course, we had Pink and the Rink going on, and Parents Weekend. Your parents were up here. What did they think? Did they have a good time? Did they think that this is pretty good for you? Are they happy that you're happy?
Yeah, they love it. They're more excited. They don't got to drive 17 hours to watch me play games. It's just a four and a half hour ride up 75. So, I'm glad. It's one of the reasons why I chose here, so they had the opportunity to come watch you play.
Well, they'll have a real easy opportunity this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's about 20 minutes from home. So
yeah, there you go. Bowling Green. That's a good trip. And it is a good trip, too. I'm looking forward to that. It's a good time of year to go to Bowling Green. And, Josh, anything else you'd like to say while we're sitting here talking about this? How about who you've been playing with? You get some pretty good line mates there. I think there's some good chemistry, and it's going to be better as the season goes on.
Yeah, playing with Diego and Nellis. We're working really well. It's hard to understand Nellis sometimes, but it's all fun.
Does he speak French on the ice?
I don't know what he speaks, to be honest. I took 4 years of French in high school and still can't understand him. So. But, Diego's and they're both great players. And, the more we can play along with each other and, get good chemistry going, it should be good for the upcoming games.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it starts this Friday night, too. JT, we thank you for joining us here, doing this. It's great. And the more you do this, the easier it gets. So we'll get you on again.
Perfect. Thank you.
JT Henke joining us here tonight. Sophomore winger for the Lakers. He had 3 goals on Friday night, and we'll be back for our final segment of the show right after this on ESPN 1400. All right, back for our final segment of the show tonight at the Antlers. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten moving back in. JT Henke did a great job. We appreciate that young man joining us here tonight on the program. Remind you, we do have a second Laker Talk program. It's about 20 minutes in length, 25 minutes. It's on Wednesday mornings right here on ESPN 1400 at about 8:30, right in that area. And you can hear that right here on 1400. So Damon and I will be doing that this week. And Bowling Green, what do we know about the Falcons at this point? We talked about Chris Nell. Looks like he'll be in goal since he shut out Anchorage on Sunday afternoon. I would think they'd come right back with him as a reward for that. And they've got some big forwards. They've got a young guy named Dejon Mingo who likes to fly around like C.J. Hayes does for the Lakers, and they're tough on their home ice.
Well, they are, and they're a good team. It's a good environment. Chris Bergeron's done a great job building that program, and that's certainly one of the programs you look to model that success. I don't know, the year 5 or year 6 in that now, and 14th in the country. And I don't know. I wanted to find out why they played in Anchorage Saturday, Sunday this week. I'm not sure what was going on scheduling-wise that way, but obviously I'd imagine they took the red-eye home Sunday, so they'll be maybe a little bit a day behind in terms of prepping for us, but they're a good team. They're an experienced team. They're led by their upperclassmen, which obviously is important in college hockey. They've got good size. They've got good skill. You mentioned the goaltending. You know, it's been a little bit of a question mark the last couple of years, but Chris Nell's obviously had a great start here. And like you said, I'm sure I'd be surprised if he wasn't in Friday night to go. Dejan has missed some games. I'm not sure if it's injury or something else related. And you know, knowing our luck, he'll be back in this weekend. He's a heck of a player. He can really skate and fly. And you know, I think one thing that they've really done a great job at over the last 2 years, some of their younger D, but their mobility on the back end has really improved, and it makes it a tough challenge to make sure you don't get beat up ice. They get some offense from their second wave, and their D really get involved. So I like the way they've reshaped their D core in terms of their mobility and their puck skills, and again, an area you try to model a little bit. And you know, just looking, they're probably a little bit more offensively challenged early in the year than I'm sure they planned on it. They return, I think, the majority of their top scorers, but they're not scoring at a real high clip right now. But they've been good defensively, so they've got a strong record. They're 14th in the country for a reason, and then they're coming off that long trip to Alaska. And you know, if that gives us a little advantage, then we'd be happy to use that in our preparation.
You know, you hate to keep looking back at stuff, but I was just thinking on the first 2 minutes maybe of the game on Friday night, we could have been up 2-0. 10 seconds in, I think it was Gage Terrell, and I just talked to JT about Gage Terrell and how he's got great offensive skill. He was point blank, and he fired it. I mean, he picked it for the glove side, and the kid caught it. I mean, that was a tremendous save.
Well, and talking about our structure, I mean, if you run that whole play back, you know, 12, 15 seconds earlier, it was a D-to-D, and it didn't overhandle it, quick up. We just one-touched it, put it 200 feet behind their D, set up a great forecheck on our first touch on the – actually, it wasn't really a forecheck because we won the foot race to it. First touch for our forward went east-west behind the net, kind of confused their coverage, and I think it was Diego made the pass out to Gage, like you mentioned, all alone. Carmine made a huge save, and then, you know, seconds later, they come down. It's a breakaway, but sometimes that's the difference, those timely saves, those big saves, and I'm not saying Gordy was at fault for giving up a breakaway goal. That's, you know, it's always a tough save that way, but you go from getting robbed to a breakaway goal, and there's a big momentum swing. Now, we fought back, and we got that 4-2 lead, but you're right. I mean, we had two great A's right off the hop, and you know, that's what I think people saw for that 40, 50 minutes on Friday night. Our structure was so good. And, you know, and we hit it hard again today to try to just ingrain those habits on it. But I think when you're young and when you're inexperienced, you know, you as a coach, you got to stay on it. You can't take your thumb off it ever because it can fall away that quickly as well.
Gus Coriale, what's the situation with him? He's the young man for the Lakers who took the shot in the head late in the game on a Friday night. He didn't play Saturday, so I'm assuming that's why. And how's he doing?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He'll be, you know, I think we've got a couple of guys that'll be questionable or probable for the trip. A couple of guys missed practice today. I think we have one guy for sure who'll be out, who'll probably find out about a little bit later in the week. But we'll let somebody else disperse that and not give Bowling Green any secrets there. But yeah, we got a little bit of an injury bug going around. So there's two or three of some of our good forward group that have played most games are going to be questionable or probable for the trip. And that's where your depth has to kick in. And then we need the next man up ready to play.
Yeah, I think this is definitely better than a 2-6 team right now. You get disappointed with this past weekend. I think most of us thought we'd win two before we'd lose two with Huntsville. But it goes the other way on you. You just got to regroup now. And they're a pretty resilient crew. I've gotten to know most of them pretty well. And I think whatever 22 guys make this trip, they'll show up to play hard on Friday night.
Well, you know, and I don't question that we didn't play hard Saturday. I question if we played smart and played with good structure. But I don't think it was a lack of compete or, you know, anything like that from the guys. You know, they battled. And, you know, they weren't afraid or timid or anything like that. And give Huntsville credit. You know, I thought they outcompeted us in some areas, but it wasn't for a lack of wanting to compete. It was, you know, I thought a lack of execution, a lack of puck management, and, you know, a little bit of that willingness to block shots and sacrifice a little bit. So, you know, we are a resilient group, and you know, we've got some really good pieces in place. And, you know, we're excited about where we're headed. And it's sometimes hard. You know, you want to be careful of how much you let it affect a young team. You know, we're done with it. It's behind us. It's disappointing. And I'm sure 3 months from now, those lost points are going to be extremely important. And we're going to look back as coaches or fans and say, boy, if only. And that Friday night against Huntsville, you know, and that's really difficult. But, you know, we've got to move forward. We've got to take a step, and we've got to, you know, refocus for Friday night. And I thought we had a pretty good day today in terms of our practice and what we were trying to hammer home. And I think our guys, you know, understood the concepts and certainly saw on video, you know, I don't want to say the harshest video session, because it's not, we're not trying to embarrass anybody or, you know, belittle our players, but, you know, at the same time, you have to teach and you have to address it in order to fix it. So we were able to do that and then go out on the ice and get some things accomplished. And, you know, tomorrow will be another heavy day focusing on the team defense, and it's got to improve. You know, we've got to cut down our goals against if we're going to turn this thing around.
Well, I'm not sure if they have it ready for us to take on the trip this weekend, but there's a lot of talk, especially on the internet right now, on Facebook and other places, about the new bus the Lakers have. They've got this wraparound on it. It looks pretty sweet to me. It looks better than the gold one we took on the last trip.
Yeah, I just saw it when I walked in, so the fans here are way ahead of me. But yeah, you know, the Checker bus line there does a good job for us, and quality coaches. And then part of our new agreement with them, they wrapped a bus with our Laker logo, and yeah, it looks really sharp. So hopefully it's ready for Bowling Green this weekend, and that's ours.
Yeah, that's good. And not only that, I think that's a fantastic rolling billboard for the institution, that wherever that goes, if they're not using it for the Lakers and they're just driving a group somewhere, it's still going to look like that. So,
and well, you know, mentioning that, it was my old school, but I got a text from one of my good friends growing up, Mike Skajinski, who's the head coach at Lawrence University now. And we grew up playing hockey and grew up in Brighton together. And he texted me a picture a year ago, and the big Michigan Tech bus just pulled into Lawrence for their hockey team to jump on and take on a road trip. So you're right. You know, this thing will travel all over in different groups on it. And I know Dr. Plager is one of the things he really liked about this contract with the bus company was we're going to get this thing rolling all over and showing off the Lakers and what we're all about with that advertising.
We haven't really talked about it. We certainly did last week when we were in front of it. But Pink in the Rink this past weekend, Parents Weekend, how, other than the fact we lost a couple of games, and that's tough when you got Parents Weekend, but how'd it go?
Well, you know, I think from my point of view, you know, we want to always evaluate what we're doing, what's successful. And I'm not sure if we did enough handling the distractions and addressing the distractions. But like you said, you know, that's life. You're always going to have some of those things. So, you know, I think we'll reevaluate some of the way we do things around those weekends. Having said that, I thought it was tremendously successful. You know, at the banquet, I talked about when I was a player, you know, my biggest moments and my most memorable moments were post-game and getting to see my grandparents and my parents, and, you know, those people are no longer with me. So, you know, I'll never forget, you know, my parents at every game. I was fortunate enough to play close enough home. JT Hankey mentioned his parents loved that. He's 4.5 hours, not 17 hours. So it's incredibly special. Our parents sacrificed so much for their kids to have this opportunity, and we had a great turnout. And, you know, the Blue Line Club did an awesome job with the events for that, and much appreciated. I thought Pink in the Rink was incredible. I don't get to see every part of it. We got a great haircut in the audience because of it, and donated lots of love. And, you know, the Halloween trick-or-treating was packed when I went out there. The gifts were awesome. And I'm sure we'll hear the money raised total coming up before too long. And I know it was tremendously successful to support our community, the new oncology department, the Ciotti family. So, you know, take away the hockey side of it, and there's a lot of things that are bigger than hockey, although it doesn't feel like it in my household this weekend and still now. But it was an awesome event for our community and because of our fans, and we appreciate that.
All right. As usual, time flies when you're having fun. This show goes in a hurry. We appreciate all the fans who are down here with us tonight. Certainly, they've been great this year. We hope that continues. And even though it's getting darker a little bit earlier these days, Damon, you and I will do the show on Wednesday morning, and we'll go down to Bowling Green this week.
Yeah, and enjoy the nice weather. It's nice outside. Got the lawn cleaned up this year, which we missed last year because of the snow. So, you know, we're excited. We're excited. We're working. We're getting better. And you know, I think everybody sees some of the pieces that are here, and we've got to put some things together, no question. But we appreciate the support once again. And, you know, we're home in 2 more weeks with that new Arizona State opponent. So, you know, make sure you come back. And this time, this Saturday, we'll give you something to get excited and cheer about.
All right. We're going to be back here next Monday night. And then we'll also be on this station on a Wednesday morning with our other program that we have. And we'll talk to you from Bowling Green on Friday and Saturday nights. For Damon and for Carl Mason, who's here with us engineering at the Antlers, and Frank Blissett back at the station. And JT Hankey, who joined us on air tonight. Bill Crawford saying so long for another week on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.